The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9pm daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
It's 7pm, it's Monday evening, it's time for the DL Debate. Yes, folks, thanks for tuning in, wherever you're at in the world. I got a tweet there, some guy in Australia was listening, and John back there, he was looking over Sydney Harbour and what have you, and that's the miracle of the podcast. Yeah, pack show again this evening, of course. We're going to be discussing the big game in Croke Park. I'm joined by top GA analyst Frank Roach, and current county chairman Mick McGrath is going to be joining us as well. And Fan Zone, we finally got the Fan Zone off the ground. We've been talking about that for a few weeks, getting feedback from the real fans at the game. And of course, I'm joined in studio as ever with the man with more championship medals than anybody else, John Harn. John, how are you?
Very well, Ben. It's great to see you here. Didn't think you were going to make it. Touch and go there last night for a while.
Yeah, I had a bit of an old bogey, but I also sat too close to me. But I tried to phone in sick, but Oisin Kelly, you know, it's just like, he came out, the show must go online. So
That's show business now, to be. You know, the show must go on.
I don't know where this ranks in the show business world, but I'll tell you, the show must go on. But yeah, you got to suck it up and do your thing. But John, yeah, what a weekend's action. You know, it seems to be coming thick and fast. You know, talk about analysing the GAA at the minute. There's so much happening. I suppose getting off the mark straight away, we have to congratulate our under-20s, you know, in tough conditions, coming through extra time and then a penalty shootout, and young McGeehan, the hero.
Young Ronan from St Junan, fair play to him. He saved three penalties in the penalty shootout, and fair play to the boys and Sean Paul and his backroom team there. You know, they put a big effort in this year, Brendan, and I suppose when they got the draw, Monaghan probably were one of the favourites because they've won the last two minors, so our boys were up against it. Chanted a few people that were at the match, Sean Mack there and St Junan's and Terry McAnuff and them, you know, they were all over, and Shakes McGonigal there happy that, you know, Billy Shannon got to play the match. And now, when I seen the fixture at the start of the week, it was, you know, Aroa Park, Billy Shannon. I thought, geez, Ulster Council don't even know that it's Father Tierney Park. But apparently the Ulster Council were right and I was wrong. I would have called it Monday's Field back in our time, but
that's right.
It's been redeveloped, so that's where the game was fixed for. So fair play to it, they got it, but I think the conditions were horrendous, Ben. But you know, the boys fought in, stuck in there, and I think at half time they were happy enough, they were going well, but then they went a couple of points down against the breeze, but they pulled it back and got level and kept Monaghan scoreless in the first half of extra time when Donegal were against the breeze, but then Monaghan got a couple of points then against the breeze, but our boys held on and got back into it and got the penalties, and young McGeehan was the hero. So fair play to Sean Paul and all the team.
Yeah, it sounded like brilliant. We actually heard bits and pieces of it. We were on our way to Dublin, we were losing the commentary, it was coming on and out. I think Dermot and Gary, they definitely earned their crust mm-hmm. that day, because they were in a wee trailer at the side and they were blowing away, all the gear was getting wet and that, so I can only listen, that's the guys in the press, can only imagine what the players were going through. So you'd have to say, you know, that type of resolve, it's hard to get into a team that you've just taken over, and fair Brady Barrett and his lads in the background, they've obviously installed a certain style of play, but also they've installed that bit of spirit in them straight away. And as you say, Monaghan coming on favourites, and then McGeehan, I think the saves were top drawer saves too, they weren't like poorly struck penalties, you know, by the sounds of it. We just caught the end of the commentary there, so the hero of the day, and marching on the next round. Of course, Armagh and Tyrone, that was a draw as well.
It went extra time, and Tyrone won it. So, and then a bit of a shock. Well, I don't know if it was a big shock, but Antrim bet Derry on Friday night up in the Dub in Belfast under lights. I think Joe Brawley might have a son involved the Antrim team, so that was a big one for Antrim. So our boys play down. I think bet Cavan. So Donegal play down this weekend, and Tyrone and Antrim. So I don't know. The game probably hasn't been fixed yet. Maybe McGrath might know when we get him on later on, but. Yeah, hopefully maybe Aroma or somewhere like that there for the weekend, Ben, and get a bit of support behind the boys, and hopefully they can go, you know, listen, Ben, the forecast is capped this week again, yeah. There this week, so it's tough conditions for all the teams, yeah. Especially them on, you know, the under-20s, they're getting it with the game called off last week, and then they got playing at the weekend, but horrendous conditions, you know, so it mightn't be much better this week for them.
Yeah, and I just wondered, as we were coming up the road, you know, the two games, that game and the Tyrone Armagh game and a draw. I know conditions was bad. You just think, though, as everybody playing the same way at the minute, you've seen a lot more draws in the GAA than ever, even in the top flight, or one-point games, which we seem to always be coming on the wrong mm-hmm. side. You know? Mm-hmm. It just seems that anybody gets into any kind of lead, they sit on it and invite the other team on. Yeah. You rarely see a team now push on.
Well, that's one of your theories, Ben. And, you know, the more I think about it, I think you're probably right. It's teams, you know, you're saying the teams are getting defensive, but it's the team that gets ahead that they kind of sit back and they don't maybe take the risk, and they're happy with what they have, a 2 or 3 point lead, and it's just inviting the other team on to them, and teams are getting close. And probably what's happening too, Ben, is, you know, compared to our day or even 10 years ago, teams are a lot better organised, and they're better coached. And unfortunately, a lot of times they're very defensive, because it's easier to set up defensive than come out with a great, you know, throwing football attacking style. So teams are getting, you know, even the weaker teams, say, I'm not saying Anthem are a weaker team, but traditionally they're a weaker team, and they can maybe set up defensively. No, I wasn't at the match, so I can't say that they were defensive against Derry. But, you know, things like that there, them kind of teams can make it harder for a supposedly stronger county. And that, you know, see a right bit of that. Like, you look at the National League results yesterday, like down through the divisions, like there was nothing in it. Mm. You know what I mean? That Division 2 is up in the air, Division 3 is up in the air, bar Cork, you know, they're all beating each other. So teams are very competitive at their levels.
Yeah, and we'll get Mick McGraw on later to talk about the finances that works for that. And obviously the drop down the divisions is the drop down the finances. And if you're going to close that, you have to have them things in place too. Very difficult thing to do, John. But getting across to Croke Park Saturday night, you were up, you were in Kilmaiden before, were you? You
weren't, I was in Kilmainham jail for a bit of history. That was on Friday, Brendan, and then I had the boys in the Croke Park for the Croke Park tour on Saturday morning and around the museum. So we had a good crack. And the young fellas love it, and it's great to give them that bit of history. And, you know, the oldest boy, Ollie, he's all into it, and he's all into his facts and figures and players from the past. And he's up at every morning at 5:30 watching that Air Sport, these old games. Well,
that's in the blood, boy. That's in the blood.
So it's good crack. But no, I'll tell you what, Ben, we had a premium ticket for the match on Saturday, so we're happy because I had the wee boy too in the buggy, so you can take the buggy right into Croke Park and right, get the lift up and everything. So as I tell you, very family friendly. So that's a tip for anyone that wants to go to Croke Park to match. If you can get premium tickets, you can take the buggy with you. Mm. So
there was a lot of romance about the game, I suppose, a bit about Desi Farrell and all that, and his connections, and, you know, you've just built up the game, there's always a positivity, and then, you know, what we see over the match, and, you know, again, losing by a point. And I think you can play devil's advocate with Donegal at the minute. You can build up, you see, you know, big changeover of personnel, top key men have changed the last few years. Getting young lads up to speed with that. Also, Bonner has changed the style. He's made us a more attacking force, which is going to leave you a bit more open at times. And then you can also say then Dublin missing maybe 6 of their best players. Didn't look like they were that bothered. We still can't beat them. It's kind of, you could make a case for either, John, you know, throughout the match. I mean, you can highlight areas where we should have won it. You forget about the chances maybe Dublin also missed in that game, and they did miss a lot of handy chances as well. Now, the goals, of course, particularly Ryan McHughes and McBertie's, I suppose, would have had a big burning effect, and then the goal we give away. It just seems like it's hanging in the balance. I mean, it was coming down the barrel of the gun with Dublin. You're thinking, this is a bad position for us now. Although we're 3 down, we come right back. And you're thinking that last break up the pitch, possibly, you know, Murphy was about in that. But all in all, you know, I didn't think we deserved to win it or lose it. The draw, I think, would have been fair.
I think a draw probably would have been a fair enough result. But going to play Dublin, even when they are missing, you know, the Johnny Coopers and, you know, the James McCarthy's and a few of them star players, you know, even Cluxton wasn't in goal, but they're still a formidable force, and they've got them young players coming through, and they always seem to find a way, especially in Croke Park. But it's a big, big advantage for them, you know, no matter what you say. The big advantage for them. Donegal played well, but there's no doubt about it. We played well, but as you said, we still didn't win. Still didn't even get a draw. And, you know, if you look at the Sunday game last night, like the statistics that they brought up about the 14 games now that we haven't beaten a big team. We beat Tyrone last year, you know, and that's always in the back of my head, and I'm saying that to a lot of people for a long time. You know, we haven't really beaten a top team and a top match that has counted, and that's the worrying part for Donegal. People are saying we're at the top table. I don't think we are. I think we're just a wee step off it. If you take Dublin, Kerry, you know, who's the next team now? Is it Galway? People are talking about Galway. You know, that's the step up for Donegal. Can we get out of the Super 8s this year? Can we win an Ulster Championship? Get out of the Super 8s, which is going to take beating one of them big teams to get, you know, to get into this, get into an All-Ireland semi-final. A learning experience, Brendan, surely, for a lot of players. But a lot of them Donegal boys have been in Croke Park before. They've been in the last 2 Super 8s, you know. I thought Hugh McFadden had a good game for Donegal. He brought a bit of stability. You know, we weren't as open at the back. Took his goal well. But as you say, the turning points were 2 missed goals, the missed goal chances, especially Paddy's in the second half. I was behind them goals and thought, geez, this is it. I thought probably Owen Byrne should have shot himself. maybe they seemed to overplay it then, and space. In fairness, Paddy, the goalkeeper was on top of him and made a good save, but the space was kind of closed down at that stage. But listen, disappointing again, Brendan, from Donegal's point of view.
Mm. You just mentioned the home venue, John. It was the first time I was there that I really noticed the fact that there wasn't hardly any Donegal fans there. And fair enough, the game was on TV, it was a bad day and all that. You can understand. That's a brief trip to Dublin and all. But see, when Dublin needed a lift, the fans really lifted them. I noticed that during the game. They're very quiet in the first half. When teams had possession, you see a lull happening in the game. Then the game springs to life now and then. It happens, maybe if a team's not set up properly or there's a turnover, the game then starts to become a bit in the end. But then once a team gets it and they slowly build it up, it goes back and you can feel the atmosphere drop. Uh-huh. But when Dublin needed a lift the last night, they got it. Uh-huh. And when Donegal maybe responded with a vital score, there was just this wee ripple of applause. I think that could have affected our boss.
Absolutely. You know, we all know playing in them kind of games, be it a county final or a big game in Croke Park, Ben, when we were there, like, you know, the roar of the crowd is massive. And you're playing it, that's the atmosphere you want, and that's, that lifts the team. And when, as you say, there was only 26,000 there, but mostly Dubs. And when Fenton kicked a couple of them big points in the second half, and you could see them clawing back to two, back to three, or three, back to two, back to one. And they were just, then the next thing, the equaliser, and they were, you know, you could really hear them and come on, the boys in blue, and they were getting behind their team. And it's a big lift for them, surely, Ben. And you could see squeezing the life out of Donegal, making it harder for Donegal to win possession. I thought we got plenty of possession in the first half, Ben, but as the game went on, we found it a lot harder to win our own kickouts, a lot harder to, you know, disrupt the Dublin kickouts. Any time we got the ball, I thought we made good enough use of it in the second half. I just thought we didn't get our hands on enough ball in the second half. The Dubs just squeezed us, and you know it's very hard to stop them coming at you. Listen, Brendan, Kilkenny, Mannion, Dean Rock, them boys are around such a long time now. People say they're on a holiday, they're only back training that, but they've got massive reserves of fitness and stamina and experience, and they don't panic and they just wear you down. And we had a lot of young boys. Darryl Boyle in the back line, and young McCall came on there. Michael Langan's only in his second season or whatever. You know, a lot of young boys. So it's not easy for them. And, you know, the Dubs just wore us down. And unfortunately, as you say, you know, Sean Patton made that. He was having the game, you know, he was getting all the plaudits at half time. I heard Brawley on and Camden on Air Sport when I was looking at the TV. Yeah. And just,
I was complimenting him too as a surety at the back. Mm-hmm. Now, the lights and all, John, you just don't know what happened there. I mean, it's a very un-Patton like moment. And we had fought our way back into it. It's not as if that was the last throw of the dice and the ball went in the net. We were beat. We got ourselves back into a position to get the draw.
That was the most pleasing part for me was that comeback after Dublin got the goal, because I think there might have been, well, there were 7 minutes of injury time, but and that when did they get the goal? 67th, you know, so there's maybe 10 minutes left, and I thought, this is lights out, that's us gone. Dubs are just going to run away with it here. And we did showed a lot of resolve and a lot of grit, and fair play to the boys for that. That was, you know, coming away from the game, I said, well, that's one thing anyway, we didn't throw in the towel and possibly should have got a draw at the end. You know, Darryl Wade made that good run up, and suppose I think Neil was just running on to make space, kind of open it up, and Darryl gave him the ball, but just didn't, you know, probably a breakdown in communication. But we definitely been stuck at it, and you know, as you say, maybe if Murphy had been on for that last play, it might have been different.
Well, speaking of Murphy, John, who's the villain here? Is it Deegan or is it Small / Howard in that instance?
Oh, the two of them.
Who's to blame for this? So because. You know, fair enough, they're going to do it, and the cynicism is there, and Small should have been off for a black card. Now, people are saying Michael Murphy could have went for that first tackle. Yeah. Now, as you're running in this whole thing, it's almost like the penalties there in the Premiership. Mm-hmm. Where's your arms going to be? Mm-hmm. Like, as Murphy comes in there, you know,
I think Michael, if you watch it, Ben, I think the elbow came up a wee bit. I've been in their positions a few times. It was Carton Cavan on my debut back in the day. I think it's, as in fairness to Michael, I think his elbow did come up. Now, you have to call it. That's the way I seen it. And I'm not going to sit here and say that the Gaul boys are angels and the Dublin boys are bad, because like Kieran Cunningham had a good thing on Twitter last night. Like, you know, if you have a John Small in your team, be it club or county, you make him into a kind of a cult hero like Ricey McMenamin and these boys. You know what I mean? Because they're on your team. But if there's an opposition, they're hated and they're vilified and everyone hates them and they're scumbags and this and that. This last while now, in fairness, I don't think John Small's done himself any favours this last few games. You know, he's going down too easy. He's trying to get players sent off. He's getting involved in it all the time. And, you know, everyone is a hard man and everyone is a, you know, a such and such a player. Like, but even Ricey in his worst days, he was always nagging, but you would have known him. He was mouthing at you and like a bit of crack in that day.
Yes.
You know, but he, I think Small's a lot more cynical and a lot more nasty.
Yeah, he kind of smirked when he was coming off the pitch and that. Yeah. It does leave a bit of a bad taste in your mouth, yeah. Which is a bit on Dublin, like, because it's hard to hate Dublin because the lads are pretty much, they go and play ball. They don't want to get involved in stuff, but maybe there's not a player then thinks that they have to stand up for the team. But I mean, how much of this do we lay at Deegan's door? Because, you know, particularly after all the talk of Clifford last week and McDonald and the handling around, your top player isn't going to get into a row when he's on a yellow card. And Michael Murphy, 100%, isn't. You know, the two of them go for him. Yeah. Where's the umpires and where's Deegan's background? Well, as if did Deegan look at Murphy's incident maybe in the first half? Obviously, we've seen it at half time. Maybe and think maybe he should have went. Was that playing in the back of his mind?
You don't know what goes on, and you don't know what the my recollection of it, and I was behind the Canalian goal, the Davin stand, so I was looking back up the pitch and I could see the Donegal boys in midfield coming out with the ball, and I could see it. The Murphy was behind the play, so I'd say Deegan didn't see it himself.
Oh, he definitely didn't.
No, and the two, and as you say, Small got him, and then Howard came in, and two of them just wrestled him to the ground. And what's Murphy going to do? He's going to grapple with them on the ground to try and get up or whatever. Next thing, the linesman comes in, and he just says the two boys on the ground. So it's going to take Brendan, and they were on about it again last night in the Sunday game. Like, why would your best player want to get involved in that there in the last attack where he can maybe influence the play and get a score? Michael Murphy's not going to, you know, want to get sent off, but. You know, something's going to have to be done. Ben was a video ref for maybe games in Croke Park. Obviously, we're not going to have it everywhere, but something's going to have to be done because it is ridiculous that, you know, you can just, if someone's on a yellow card, you can go in and say, right, I'm going to pull this boy to the ground. The two of us are going to wrestle on the ground.
And
the two of us are going to get a yellow card and the best player's off the pitch and that, my job's done.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, we'll get more reaction to the big game in Croker with a couple of guests is coming on as well. Something that I did get finally done was the fan zone. John, I want to pick up some interview from people early enough after the game before things get a bit messy. Now, I was in Croke Park Hotel after, before Oisin went away, and I managed to get a talk to a few Donegal fans. I couldn't get it in Galway because I was still hobbling about after the elaboration. So it's something that we want to include going forward as a fan zone. So I'll just play a couple of interviews we got there from people after the game.
I'm here with Killy Beggs, native Joe McBurder, former Donegal tuner. He's with us, wee lad. He might get a word in as well, Joe. Fikra, how are you, Fikra? Joe, again, a one-point defeat. Hey, what did you think of the nice match?
Disappointed overall the way, you know, we had the chances. We'd goal. I think the goal chance towards, before Dublin got their goal, definitely, I think, if we got that goal, the game was ours. But, you know, it's typical Dublin. They're not playing well, but they're getting results. And we kind of, the goal, maybe the goal chance that we didn't take, but stepped out in us, and Dublin went down the field and got a lucky goal, and they kicked on from there, and we just couldn't find the final score to get, you know, maybe a draw, or, you know, obviously we've been hoping for a win, but it's typical Dublin, like, they have the players, and, you know, maybe the men that came off the bench were a bit rusty for Donegal, but definitely we're not far away if we can just keep plugging away. And, you know, granted, the next two games, Tyrone and Dublin, are going to be really tough, but, you know, I think if we keep improving and performing, if you're performing, you're not going to be far away. And we can just hope that the goal chances in other games, we take them, we definitely have a hope, you know, and that's, we just build on it, like, you know.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, you look at the great teams, they also seem to have that bit of luck, you know. Sean Patton, he was brilliant tonight. I was complimenting him actually during the game about his high feeling, how composed he was at the back, and sometimes maybe the lights maybe caught him there, and that lucky goal just swung it. He said McBurdy chance was probably the one that got away, and then just at the very end, Darrell Boyle had a chance as we were building up. I wonder if Michael Murphy had been in the pitch, would he have been around that zone, he would have been probably the go-to man at that stage.
Yeah, because yeah, as you know yourself, Brendan, you always look to your leaders, and obviously if Murphy was still there, you know, he might have come out, took the ball off him. You know, maybe if he might have been fouled, won a free, equaliser, etc. But, you know, in fairness to the lads, and there are plenty of young lads, a lot of them playing in Croke Park against Dublin, there's always that doubt. And, you know, the boys stood up there tonight, and, you know, they were probably kick of the ball away from getting a result. And fair play to everyone. And a lot, they're young, etc. They're learning every day they go out, and that's all you're looking for. And we just hope we can build on it for the, you know, obviously Tyrone and Monaghan in the league. We'll be hoping to get a result at home, and just take it from there, and then build for the championship against Tyrone. And, you know,
that's it. And not to be looking the goody Kerry in the last day to get a result. Joe McBurdy, thanks a lot for talking to us. Good
well, I ran.
So, Tosh, Glenty's native, living large in Dublin. Where do you think we lost that tonight?
Well, I don't know why we kept some of the players on so long. I reckon some of them weren't up to the mark.
I can't understand why young fellas are not getting their chance to play. Glenties are county champions. They have only one man on the team. We have three or four in the subs, never got a game.
That's the second game now we've lost by a point. You know, winning becomes a habit, losing becomes a habit. Do you think Donegal now have enough to stay in the division?
If you want me to be really honest, I think they're going to struggle to stay in the division. They have three very hard matches. Going to Kerry, I can't see he's getting points. Tyrone and Monaghan, it's a 50-50 or 60-40. So it'll be a hard struggle.
If we beat Monaghan the last day, there's a chance 5 points could, or the next day out, there's a chance that 5 points could keep us up.
Maybe. It's such a tight division. We're lucky this year that it is such a tight division. But we should be picking up more points. I reckon we're slipping up. We're not taking our scores when we should. I reckon we could do a lot better, but I reckon we should give more young fellas a trial. They're there long enough now. We're playing the same team for the whole league.
I'm just here with Kieran Geller and Sherman. Kieran, so close, but yet so far. What do you make of it this evening?
Yeah, it's a very disappointing game. I think we're thereabouts. Maybe we're one or two players short, but hopefully it'll come good in the summer.
Yeah, Kieran, it's come down to a few pivotal moments. I suppose the goal, very unlucky. McBurdy's chance, the goal again. You know, it seems again, after the Galway game, just that 1 point deficit, we're getting so close, but in the top flight, there's no room for error, and them small errors are costing us.
Yeah, that's true. There were very small margins. We didn't get the luck of the green. Like, there was two or three chances there when Ryan McHugh could have scored, when McFadden could have scored, you know, and then we had Paddy's, McBurdy's chance. Like, you know, they're very small margins, but look, top teams, they have to put these chances away. We just have to work on it.
And there you have it, folks. That's the fan zone. I don't know, John, whether I was excited just to get this fan zone off the ground or a couple of JDs, but it was a wee bit high-pitched there.
Good, Ben. Good to hear the comments of the boys afterwards, and fair play to Tosh there. He wasn't holding back. Paddy McGlynn there from Funtown. Used to drive us. It was involved in the Donegal teams back in the day. But Paddy makes a good point there about the Glenties boys and Niamh Collin being county champions and not getting the chance. It's hard to know. Listen, Leo stepped away. Leo would have been on the team if he was there. That'd be two.
McKelvey, McGettigan's other two was in the bench.
Probably not. He's saying they're not getting a chance. McKelvey came on in O'Donnell Park against Galway. I'm not sure about John McGettigan. Has he got much game time yet? I can't remember. I don't think he has. Maybe a wee bit against Mayo the first day. I don't think he has. And, you know, Owen's a good wee player. Had a good championship. So that's always going to, Ben, you're always going to have that debate about the county champions not having enough people, players on the panel. The only one thing I will say is that, you know, you chat to anyone now, they'll say that the step up from club to county level is massive. You know, and even if you are a good club player, you've won a championship, like, the step up is massive. I remember chatting to Pádraig Joyce and the Galway boys the Saturday night before the Donegal game and on about the Curraghfin boys, like, and they were saying, you know, the Curraghfin boys will say it themselves that it's a massive step up. Like Gary Sykes would have said last year when he was out of the, you know, he made that point in a couple of media things that he did last year, that, you know, the step up is just massive. And just because Curraghfin are the best club team maybe ever with three in a row, it doesn't mean to say that every one of their players is going to get on the Galway team. Far from it. So you have to take that into account too. But Tosh is a good, you know, he makes a point and you have to respect him. And maybe, you know, we need to try out another couple of players. Owen McGettigan, like, we're not going to see him now. When are we going to see him?
Yeah, that's the thing about the league. Where do you get the time? You know, we were talking about that even from a club perspective, you know, about you got to kind of blood players, but these games are so big. You know, you talk about playing in the Super 8s, you know, the league basically is a warm-up to the Super 8s. You have to get your best team out and your tactics. You know, Kieran Gallagher there, he's secretary of Tyrone Club, he was talking about missed chances and the kind of the four big incidents in the game. And Joe McBurdy saying there, you know, but keep performing. Like, there isn't much else you can do, John. You know, we're not getting hidings. We're not being completely outplayed or overrun at any real stage. We're competing with a team. For me, still kind of finding its feet in terms of new players really maybe making the position their own. Mm-hmm. Then we obviously have, you know, stalwarts there throughout the team. Obviously already Patton's there now. You've Neil McGee, you've Murphy, you've Ryan McHugh in particular now. McBurdy's back as well, like that spine of the team.
Big Langan's doing well, Hughes well established now, you know, but we're still probably looking for a centre half back, Ben. You know, Darryl Boyer there, yeah. Conor O'Donnell's had a few chances, it's hard to know. We've mentioned before Steve McMenamin's a big loss. The sooner we get him back, the better. Owen Bahan, you know, another regular, but, you know, we still, bar Neil McGee and, you know, Steve McMenamin comes back, Ben, we still need that tigerish man marker, that John Small, John, other teams have, that maybe we need a bit of badness.
But see,
I think
I don't mind when we're missing a few players. You know, Paddy McGrath probably back for championship as well.
every other team seems to be missing a few players. I think if you've got your full team, you maybe then get a false sense of where you're at. You know, I think sometimes it's good that we have these boys to come back because it'll give you a bit of injection.
Absolutely. You need a bit of strength and depth, and you need to know what you have come the summer with your subs, and you know, you need 2021 good solid players.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen, and there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Back again with the DL Debate. I'm delighted I'm joined on the line by top GAA analyst Frank Roach, of correspondent with the Herald and the Indo. How are you today, Frank?
Very well, Brendan. How are you?
The very best, the very best. Frank, listen, we've been teasing out the big one, of course, at the weekend in Croker. And maybe, you know, it's coming from a Donegal mindset. We like to get a bit of balance on the show. We're talking about missed chances and whether to blame Maurice Deegan or Small for the Murphy incident in the end. It's always great to get somebody from outside just to get your perspective on that game. You were in Croke Park on Saturday night.
I was there on Saturday night, and I must admit I enjoyed it immensely. It was the best game I've been at so far this year. I know we're only 3 or 4 weeks into it, but it had a real intensity about it, and you could see the step up from the first three rounds of the league where things aren't always operating at the same pace. I thought the last Saturday night was a really good game. Now, I was at Dublin Kerry the first weekend, and that was an equally excellent game, but it is a different feel to it. I just thought now there was, you could sense that players are moving into phase two of the league, and everything seems a bit more serious, and it was like that at the weekend.
Yeah, but I just wondering, you know, we were saying just a few minutes back about different ways of looking at the game. You know, Donegal doesn't look like a bit like Monaghan as well. Dublin seemed to care in the first half. You know, they're missing maybe six or seven of their better players. We were coming up there gunning for a victory, and we still couldn't get across the line. You know, just around the Dubs, where do you see them at the moment in terms of how good they are or how good they're going to be, and how far do you think we are actually off them?
I wouldn't say you're necessarily that far off them, but it's very hard to make definitive judgments on Dublin, not just because they're at this time of year, not just because they're under a new manager, but it was the exact same last year. You could see in how they were playing in the last spring campaign under Jim Gavin that they were, if not quite going through the motions, they weren't quite at it, but you got a sense that all eyes were on the bigger picture of summer. You know, it didn't matter if Dublin won the league or not last year. This year, it doesn't matter if Desi Farrell wins the league or not. And you'd almost say, almost by default, they're in pole position to reach the league final now, because they've been hit and miss in all four games at different stages, and yet they've got 6 points out of eight. And that tells you an awful lot about the mentality of this Dublin group. Even in matches where they're not playing well, and they weren't great by any means in the first half last Saturday, but 2 weeks earlier against Monaghan, in that first half, I haven't seen Dublin play as poorly for such a long spell of a game, I'd say for 8 years nearly. And they rescued a draw against Monaghan, and they came with the winning surge on Saturday night to beat Donegal, and Donegal had played really, really good football for long stretches of that game.
It's almost like the perfect scenario. You know, you're missing a load of your best players who are going to be back for the summer. You're not playing well in games. You're still winning them. You know, for Desi Farrell, it must be a great way, because a few of them games, you know, Saturday night, the pass there, Donegal could have, I think a draw would have been fair, probably, Frank, against Monaghan, they definitely should have lost, and it might have put them under a wee bit of pressure. And you just look at them now, you know, Dublin are top. You know, you think next to them is obviously Kerry. I think Galway and Monaghan are the two teams that are showing up a bit better in the league. They're the only teams, for me, kind of look like they're really pushing close to it. I know we've got the right mixture of players there. I think we can score, we can hurt teams, but as yet we haven't, I think, got our defensive shape, you know, in terms of, you know, myself and John was talking about, maybe we have McMenamin to come back at cornerback, maybe Paddy McGrath. We don't really seem to have a centre half back at the minute, but all in all, there's a nice mixture from Bonner. We talked about the different style. Donegal playing a very defensive style for years was only taking us so far. There's a real freshness about them, and I think that's the excitement. You know, it's funny, you on about the entertainment factor. I think sometimes when you're Donegal fan, you get so engrossed in the game, you forget about the entertaining side of it. That's a very interesting thing you've come up with there, Frank. But you know,
it was. And in fairness, Declan has been, I think, you know, horribly compromised by injuries in his defence especially. And you know, I mean, the big difference between the Dublin's not even the Dublins of this world, there's only one Dublin, but between Dublin and the rest, is that, you know, Dublin can ship one or two what you would think are pivotal player losses, and they find a way every time, whereas other teams get really stretched that way, and that definitely hurt Donegal in the last two championships when it came to the business end of the Super 8s, losing Paddy McBrearty in 2018 and Owen Bon Gallagher, you know, last July. You know, Dublin are able to ship those losses. But, I mean, what we saw, there was a few flashes of vintage Donegal, I would have said, on Saturday night. I mean, the move that led to the goal chance for Ryan McHugh was just brilliant to watch. I mean, the restart by Patton, Murphy soaring as he always does, that flick on into McHugh. I mean, the relationship between those three actually can be telepathic at times. And, you know, it was the perfect move. And yet there was Comerford, you know, making a really sharp save. Maybe Donegal could have worked the goal chance a little bit better. But, you know, Jamie Brennan finished the rebound really well. And, like, things like that really do get you off your seat. And we had several of those last Saturday. You mentioned Michael Murphy and, you know, whether he was unlucky with the second yellow. He probably was, because generally, more often than not, the forward is more sinned against than sinning. But I would say that, you know, Michael was a little bit lucky after 2 or 3 minutes into the game when, you know, it doesn't matter if it was deliberate or not, but he ended up catching
David Byrne
in the head with a shoulder that was off. And under the edict that they apply now, or they usually apply in the league, whatever about championship, you know, dangerous head-high tackle is a straight red. So if Michael had been sent off then, and I don't think he meant to do him, but if he had been sent off, we wouldn't have seen, you know, the brilliance of Murphy again in Croke Park. And, like, for 70 minutes, nearly everything he did on Saturday night was absolutely fantastic. You know, you had the full array, the, you know, some great high fielding, link up with McHugh there at the kick out. His 2 points from play in the second half were brilliant. You know, even the deft hands for Hugh McFadden's goal. And it just had me thinking, like, what will Donegal do whenever Michael Murphy does retire, because he is irreplaceable.
We don't want to think about that, Frank.
Well, Frank, yeah. you're just singing the same hymn sheet as my father, because every time I come into the house, he says, "Oh, without Murphy, Donegal are nothing, and what are they going to do when Murphy goes?" And they're sorry.
It was interesting,
sight.
Them 2 points. He was inside, frankly. People dreamed about him, Donegal fans. Why isn't he inside? Why isn't he inside? His importance to the team all round the pitch. I think for years there, he needed to play a certain role. But I think you've seen, probably, if we can afford to have him up, you know, you think about if it was him and McBertie and Jamie Brennan around there, you have three lads inside on their day, unmarkable. And if Donegal can have enough of a platform in midfield to cope with Murphy being inside, I think that's the place we should play him in the next couple of years.
Yeah, my only, maybe over the next few years, but my only thing is that, you know, he is so important in so many other things he does for you. And it's not that you're playing him as an orthodox midfielder, but, you know, his intelligence on the ball and his ability to kind of, you know, get onto those pattern restarts, you know, he offers Donegal something around the midfield that you probably don't have at the moment as well. Like, I often think of Aidan O'Shea, and people are forever saying, like, where should Mayo play him? And, you know, maybe he doesn't have the engine to survive 70 minutes at midfield against Dublin, you know, a team of their pace. You know, should they play him at full forward? But, like, more often than not, he does his best work, you know, on the 40 or around that area. And Murphy can be the same as well. You know, I think his intelligence is so key, because he kind of takes up the right position at the right time, and he'll go inside at the right time, and sometimes when the opposition aren't expecting it. But it was interesting, like, Dublin put John Small on him on Saturday night. In previous matches, the only man they would have trusted with that role was James McCarthy, and he didn't play because of a slight knock. But very few teams have a guy who can match up man for man on Murphy, especially when he goes inside. And that's why I think teams nearly have to come up with a plan B of, you know, you need a second player, a second defender playing in front of him.
A plan B, which was Brian Howard dragging him to the ground in the end. But yeah, I get where you're coming from.
There you go, yeah. In fact, I mean, for all the talk about Small, it was actually Brian Howard was arguably more at fault, really, for that incident. And maybe if that didn't happen, he, you know, mightn't have been any card shown. But there you go.
Just to finish up on the Murphy aspect of it, like the defining moment for me, like just to that showed his total class and probably his leadership more than anything, was after the Dublin goal. He went out to midfield and he put the hands up. You could see him and he just stood in the middle of the field and Patton just kicked it right down him and he got up and he caught it and he took the mark. He fell and he gave a quick pass on. Like it was just, you know, to me it was just brilliant. Like, and I know we've seen different parts of him, but talk about leadership when you needed it. He just said, right, kick it out here, Patton, I'm going to catch it and we're going to get on the attack here. So, you know, the man's just a genius.
He's ultimate gladiator and the Coliseum. Frank, I was just wondering, could you tidy a couple of things up around the rules there? You know, a lot of people, look, in the last few years, rules have been in and they've been trialled and this is in, this is that. But the current rules in terms of sunburn, midfield mark, advanced mark, etc., they're here to stay.
They're here to stay until a majority of Congress decide, maybe this isn't working and we need to revisit it. But I think some people are under the misapprehension that, you know, actually we're trialing these rules this year, and if we don't like them, should we get rid of them? Well, you know, they were trialed in last year's league, and arising out of that, most of them, you know, or versions of them were passed at a special Congress, and they're here now. And I mean, the two big ones really are the new sin bin, where players are, you know, sent off for 10 minutes and can come back on, whereas previously, obviously, that player was gone for the game, but he could be replaced straight away. That and the attacking mark. You know, the other ones aren't, you know, in fairness, I suppose, the kick-out, you know, from the more advanced position, from the 20-metre line, does make a difference. And it has to encourage more long kick-outs, more contested kick-outs. And I think there's general acceptance that that's, you know, that's a pretty good rule.
Frank,
yes.
Sorry, just sorry to cut off you there. Just did you something? You said something earlier, but we were back talking about Michael Murphy. Give me your definition again of this head high dangerous tackle from the referees. That's possibly.
Well, it's what they'll say. If it doesn't matter if it's a shoulder, you know, shoulder to shoulder is a perfectly legitimate tackle. But I mean, if a player catches a guy in the face or around the neck, you know, it's under rule and the Croke Park have frequently kind of sought to remind us that, you know, it's a dangerous tackle is a straight red card offence. Yeah. Now, obviously, it's the referee's judgment call then in that scenario. But, like, you could argue that if you go back to last year's All-Ireland Hurling Final, where Richie Hogan got a straight red and his elbow stretching out caught the face of...
Cathal Barrett, was it?
Cathal Barrett, the tip corner back. Now, if you look at that, I mean, I think most people would agree that, you know, Richie wasn't looking to nail the player, the opposition player. Barrett's quick feet, he jinked inside him, but the elbow came out and he caught him in the face. And, you know, we've seen several other tackles in this year's league where there's been, you know, head high or neck high contact. Yeah. And the player has shown a straight red card.
The Mayo Dublin game in Castlebar, I think the second round of the league, it was on TV, and Barry Cashley put the Mayo, was it Jordan Flint, or the young fellow from Crossman?
He got sent off again yesterday.
And it was actually John Small went down, and Small got a bit of criticism from Brawley and that for going down holding his face. But to me, it was a clumsy tackle, and it was definitely high, and it was a bit reckless. He was very late, so I had no problem with that. What you see the Kieran McGeary one yesterday for the Galway game? What was your thoughts on that, Frank? Did you see it on TV?
I only saw it once and quickly the replay after, but when I did, I thought
it was harsh.
Red card. Yeah, but you see, the thing is,
that's the rule. Yeah, that's
everyone might be saying, well, he didn't mean it, but I think people think, you know, it has to be deliberate.
Yes,
there are what you call accidental collisions.
Yeah,
where, you know, two players are going for the ball and something, you know, a guy, you know, he collides with a guy's head or whatever. But there, where you're going to make a tackle, and it boils down to, I suppose, protection of the opponent player. That, you know, if you put him in danger in whatever way by catching him in the head, you know, the referees more often... I'm not saying, like, it would have been very harsh. You can say it would have been very harsh so early in a game, you know, for a red card to be shown. And particularly when it happened in real time, I thought there'd be no contact. I kind of saw it. I thought your man had just ducked out and there hadn't been contact. When you see it on replay, it doesn't look so good. But as I said, if a red card had been shown, we wouldn't have seen the Murphy masterclass that followed.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's tricky, and you see the problems referees have, and was it intentional, and did he slip into it, and did he catch him high, and You know, so listen, we give out plenty about the referees, but they don't have it easy either.
No, they don't. Deegan mightn't just be welcome up here for a while now. He's going to have to do us a favour, I think, back, Frank. Frank, listen.
Well, actually, I think Donegal's biggest gripe from last weekend was the 8 minutes and 8 seconds of injury time that were played, because 7 minutes were signalled, and actually yesterday morning when I was doing some follow-up stuff, I just put on the tape again to see...
the melee?
Not so much even the melee, but the hold-up. So when Paddy McBrearty scored his point, there were 24 minutes and 22 seconds when the ball sailed over the bar. Now, you're not going to stop the play there at that point, but the next kick-out from Evan Comerford didn't happen until 76 minutes and 46 seconds. So there is like 2 minutes 24 seconds. Straight away, you should say, that's 2 minutes of a hold-up caused by melee and the red cards and everything else around it. So I would have said there should have been 79 minutes of, 79, sorry, there should have been 9 minutes of injury time played. That's leaving aside one or two other substitutions. I think there was actually one Dublin substitution earlier in injury time. And there was the Ryan McHugh collision and hold-up, although it was unclear whether that was factored into the 7 minutes. You know, it was just coming up to the 70-minute mark, so... You know, you couldn't necessarily add something that might have been already added, factored in by the officials. But there definitely should have been, time for another play in that game.
Yeah, and in the melee, you think there was about a minute 20 seconds lost in that. There was only a minute added on. It was like 2:20 or something as well, Frank. So them small things again could have added up to one last chance for Donegal, as it wasn't to be, Frank. And listen, I know you're in the capital there and you're mad to get out of it before that rusher catches you, Frank. Listen, thanks a million for coming on and talking to us here in the DL Debate.
You're welcome. Thanks, Brendan.
Cheers, man.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen, and there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
And I'm delighted to say we're going to be joined on the line by Mick McGrath now to talk us through what's happening behind the scenes in Donegal. Mick, you're welcome to the show.
Brendan, how are you?
County chairman and stalwart. Mick, how are you, sir? Mick, thanks a million for joining us in the DL Debate. Mick, the fundraising issue at the minute, Tom Ryan, of course, coming out with his 30 million tag, and there's a lot of stuff going over and back now, and of course the GPA getting involved, you know, and Paul Flynn saying that we're not the problem child, and it just seems like, Mick, 11% rise year on year. You're at the cold face of it, Mick, around what's it taken. Could you just shine a light on us, Mick, of the breakdown of finances and the massive work that's going on behind the scenes to keep this Donegal team at the top?
Well, the first thing I suppose is we all try to do at the beginning of the year is to look at our budgets. We set budgets out, and budgets aren't always attained and not always adhered to, but you have to have a guideline. And you have to work towards as closely as you can towards them, and you have to be realistic in balancing out. We looked at the National League this year, where we've got 4 games at home, 3 games away. Next year, we'll have 4 away and 3 at home. So there's already a cost increase there of maybe 6,000 or 7,000 just in travelling that you won't have this year that you will have next year. That's just one item, one small item. But there you are. You're starting off with it on a minus 6 compared to 6,000 or 7,000 compared to where you are with this year. And then you look at anything can happen, your medical expenses, and God forbid anybody gets a serious injury, but we've had our fair share of them with cruciates. And I mean, to get somebody from receiving the injury until you actually get them back on the park, you're talking in around €10,000 for the medical expenses. And you've got to work, in a total support capacity behind everybody getting back onto the field. And it's not just the physical injury, it's the mental anguish that's with the player. Will I make it back? The worry, the stress, his relationship with family, with girlfriend or wife, or with his work, with everything that goes with that, the stress that comes in there. And, if it's a player on the wrong age of 30, he could be finished. If it's a player on just turning 20, he might think he'll get the chance again. So there's a whole lot of backup that you require there. But the one thing that there should never be anybody saying, we can't afford to do that. You've got to put a structure in place that you draw your lines on where you go over and where you do not go over. And one is the welfare of players. You've got to understand what the word welfare means and define it down into every little bit that is there. And it's down to nutrition, it's down to looking after the players, that the players feel comfortable about going to, and if they don't get picked on the team, they don't get picked on the team. But it shouldn't be down to anything that should stop them from getting there, like not having transport availability, not having the proper training, not having the proper facilities. So we took that decision some years ago, and we would do something about looking after our teams, looking after their welfare, looking after facilities. We had certain clubs in the centre of the county driven mad, going looking for facilities at all stages for all our teams, and to train during especially January, February, March, when you've got this weather that we've currently got. You just can't go in and ask a club for their facilities. So we went out and we bought the place of our own in Convoy, and we've been developing that over the last 10 years. We've spent about close to $5 million on it at the moment. And we're currently building a building that's costing $2.2 million, and it's going to cost $700,000 or $800,000 to finish it in 2020 into 2021. So, I mean, I'm throwing out millions there as it means nothing, but it's a lot of hard work, and there's a lot of phone calling and a lot of administration and a lot of tapping of everybody that you go to, whether it's, you're applying to Croke Park for funding, whether you're applying to the what was known as the Lotto, which is now operated out of by an independent body down in Kerry. The days of politicians doing you favours seems to be gone, and at this moment in time you wouldn't know who to talk to anyway, Brendan, but there is the fundraising then comes into it, a large percentage of it, and the clubs of Donegal, you know, as much as we bicker and fight at times with one another on the field and off the field, they're very, very strong when it comes to county committee level in making decisions, and they're very, very professional in the way they look at things. It was identified to them, I suppose, some years ago that we were going to have to build this building, we were going to build it right, it was going to cost quite a lot of money. We were going to have to borrow $1 million, and it wasn't easy just going in borrowing $1 million. It's to convince the bank that you can actually repay it, and we had a lot of meetings with the bank. And the clubs made a decision in May of 2018 that we would go with the building. They were brave to take that €1 million loan. It means that the clubs will repay that. It's known as levies to the clubs. They're levied on an annual basis. They break down that levy over 12 months. They pay it in, and most of them are direct debits. And we pay the bank back monthly, and we've got a 15-year loan, 15-year mortgage with it to pay that million back. And I couldn't speak highly enough of the clubs, all 40 clubs in the county that bought into that. The night they've all agreed to it, but the majority on the night agreed to it, and it's a democratic decision. And that's in a shorter period, I've just outlined where you're coming from, with trying to balance all that out. Our books would have turned over $4 million in 2019. Between the building work and between our day-to-day runnings. I can go through anything. We've also made a decision at Donegal level, like a lot of counties have done, that we're going to be very transparent and outspoken on our figures. We're not going to hide behind closed doors or hide with anything under the table. We're very transparent on what it's costing us to do things, and I'm not afraid to come out and say what it's... The public have a right to know what we're spending, and we're not afraid to say that out loud, and we're not afraid to come asking the public to help us either, especially the Donegal fans who are coming in tremendously well behind us at the moment. We bought a house in Dublin, costing us $400,000, and we're raffling it. And the tickets are 100 each and €100 each. And it's, if you're buying them online, it's simply winyourhouseindublin.com. We get you in and buying a line on that at €100. And somebody's going to, for the cost of €100, win a house worth $400,000. And we have a car sponsored by McGinley Motors and Letterkenny, a second prize, a new Mazda car. So they're two very attractive prizes for putting up €100. But the €400,000 house in Dublin is definitely worth a purchase of a ticket for. And I know, Brendan, you've promised that you'll buy one on Sunday after the match.
I'm in the Bridge Bar. I've got my £100 ready here. John's going to... John, I thought we were going halfers, but he's given me 20 just so...
John's going to bring a camera and take a photograph of that 100,
I think. He's shrewd. You see, he knows that house is going to be worth $600,000 the year after. That's the way Dublin's going crazy. Mickey, just... I'm delighted you touched on mental health there, you know, and made that a point of view of what you were saying. I know you sat in the committee yourself, but also council level, to formulate, you know, a plan around helping players and backup, which is huge at the minute, and hats off to you for doing that. I think that's a huge side of our game which often gets forgotten about. You know, you talk about players coming back from injury, the trials that they face being out of that, you know, the bubble of being in a county team and being outside that, coming back from injury, along with all the pressures players got from social media and from fans in general. There's a lot of stuff going on there people forget about, you know, so fair play to you on that, Mick. Mick, I was just wondering, around the sponsorship there, Mick, and the running of the team, is there a certain time of year where most of the money comes in and it facilitates the rest? Or say, versus, is there grants come between Croke Park, gate receipts and sponsorship? What is the kind of the breakdown? Have you a fair idea of what's going to come in, and then there's like a shortfall to be made up in terms of raising money? Or how does that work every year, Mick? Is there a plan at the start of the year to say, right, we're guaranteed this, or we should be guaranteed in and around that from sponsorship, gate receipts, etc., then we need to raise this? Is that how it works?
Yeah, well, it's basically, you've got to realise it's a business that we're running, and there's no point in saying it, and you can have a lot of voluntary workers, and the word amateur is used at times, but you certainly can't allow any amateurish attitude towards running a business that's turning over 4 million, or you won't be in business very long. So you've got to bring in and encourage people that have the necessary skills, whether they're financial, whether they're fundraising, or whether they're seeking out sponsorship, and you've got professional people to go along and speak to people and explain to them exactly what we're all about. When you explain to somebody that you're organised quite well, I think they're more inclined to get involved than if you come across in a sloppy type of a way. And there's room for everybody in the association. But when you go to look and talk to people, they've got to see that they're buying into something that's worthy and well organised. The cash flow situation is, in January, February, March, we have nothing except National League. All the National League gates go to Croke Park, so we don't get anything out of that. The home grounds that we use in the county, we get 10% of the gate, and that's for the maintenance and the improvement and modernisation of their own facilities. So I mean that's not huge money, but it's enough to keep them going by on entertaining a home fixture. But all the gate goes to Croke Park. And out of that, then, Croke Park will give you an explanation of where all that money goes to. The higher you are up in the leagues, the more of the pool, we'll call it, that you get. So if you're in League Division 1, which we currently are, we get a bigger gate, cut up the cake, I suppose, than the people in Division 3 or Division 4, because there's a bigger gate. Gates are up already this year, even though we've had huge adverse weather hitting us in the last 4 or 5 weeks. The gates are up. Even yesterday, there was huge gates. 26,000 people in Croke Park the other night at a National League match. You know, is a lot of people. There's been good gates at all the National League matches, hurling and football, throughout the country. So we're getting the cut of the pool in football. And the difference between being in Division 1 and Division 2 is huge. Like, our gates by being in Division 2 went down, our cut in the cake went down 100,000. I think it was 101,000. It went down from 2018 to 2019. So we're back up in 2020 now in Division 1, so we would be expecting that increase. But our cash in hand, our cash in the bank at the moment, would be very low because we have no income going into the kitty. So what we look is for our sponsors to give us, when they're giving us a sponsor, we'll say we'll expect a piece of it to be paid in X, Y, and Z, and we'll say 3 periods or 2 periods, or in some cases 1 period. And it would be at this time of the year we'd be looking for it to help us through this particular period where we've got quite a lot of expenses going out towards the cost of running the teams in the National League in particular.
Very interesting stuff there, Mick. One of your old buddies, John Harn, wants to ask you a question here.
Yes, John.
Good, Mick. How are you doing?
Good.
Mick, just a couple of questions for you, not too controversial. Mick, you were mentioned there, and it's a hot potato at the minute, the Donegal, you know, having the 3 home games in 3 different venues. Can you explain to the listeners, because I'm sick trying to defend poor old O'Donnell Park and St Junan's with their bad record, you know, when you're up there in Ballyshannon. So my point to people is, like, you know, the GAA in Donegal is bigger than just the county team, and, you know, you have to look at it in the bigger picture, and, you know, you might give us your views on that there.
Yeah, well, number one, McCool Park in Balbofay is our number one venue, and that's our number one ground. And then there's 2 secondary grounds, O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny and Father Tierney Park in Ballyshannon. And if I was to give an example, like, there was a lot of people, I suppose, had a crib about, you know, results in the matches in O'Donnell Park. But O'Donnell Park has been a huge asset to us since it came on board a few years ago, some years ago. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Donegal were playing Galway. The match could not have gone ahead in McCool Park. because Pat wouldn't have been able to take the game that particular weekend. And we were very lucky to have the surface that O'Donnell Park has. It's a very sandy surface, and it's a good surface. Now, we've had bad results there, but that, I, you know, we've lost a lot of games by a point and two down there, and we've won games by points and twos as well. And we, you can't blame the surface. The team know themselves 99% of the time when they're leaving the field. We left that one behind us, or we didn't concentrate correctly. We were 7 points up in the game against Galway, and the players don't need to be reminded. That game was a game we should have seen out. That had nothing at all to do with the pitch. The game couldn't have went ahead in McCool Park that day. So to have O'Donnell Park there and to have the Father Tierney Park brings inter-county football to two parts of the county that deserves it, because there's tradition there, number one. They have the facilities, number two. There was championship matches and indeed National League matches played in O'Donnell Park and Father Tierney Park way before McCool Park became our main ground. Now, all championship matches will go in to McCool Park, and in the Super 8 games when we get them sorted out, and hopefully we'll retain position there, they go into McCool Park. But we do need to have the other grounds having the facilities, and the facilities throughout the whole county has improved in the last 25 years, especially since the mid-90s. New clubs came on board and they have top-class facilities, and other grounds that were there longer than that have gone and improved their facilities. But O'Donnell Park and the Father Tierney Park in Ballyshannon are very, very important. There's some supporters in Donegal don't like going to them, but then we don't like going to McCool Park when we don't perform well either. And we lost against Tyrone there a few years ago, and it was a sore one to take home with us that night.
That's fair enough, Mick. No, I think you've answered very well, and I would be 100% behind you in that there. And even like yesterday, you know, O'Donnell Park has become the home of the hurlers now, the Donegal hurlers. Like they have a very good record there. But just moving on, Mick, when you mentioned 4 million, you know, to run the association in Donegal every year, any plans, Mick, for maybe a commercial officer, like a full-time paid role? I know we have Noreen as an administrator, but someone maybe didn't know, when you think of that kind of figure, 4 million, it's a lot of money to be gathered up.
Yeah, we're very fortunate in that we've got a gem on the board at the moment in David O'Donnell, his development officer. He's an engineer by his day job, and he's a cool, calm guy, but he can get things done very effectively. I actually, you know, people are complimenting me on what's happening down at Convoy. I have very little to do with what's happening with Convoy. I handed David the keys of Convoy when I became chairman, and it would be very easy for me to stand and take brownie points and claps in the back, but it would be very wrong for me to do that, because David is running that as development officer, and I couldn't speak highly enough about him. He has everything. He's working well with the contractors. He's working well with the whole drawing down of grants and doing the administration side of it. And he works well with Noreen Doherty in the office and with Alan Boyd, our treasurer. The three of them really run all of that side of it. Where there's fundraising needed, I come in a bit more into it. But I'd have to compliment him. And he's very, very up to speed on what he gets done. And that project's running on great, and the building was costed at 2.2 million. It'll probably go slightly over budget, maybe to 2.3, but it'll not be much over budget. And it's going to be a very, very proud day for every GA person in the county. And I do want every GA person in the county to go down and look at it when it's finished and see where the money has actually been spent. And they will see where it's been spent, and I'm sure they'll admire where it's 99% complete at the moment. It's not open to the public yet, but we will have a couple of days towards the end of the year when we will open it to the public and let people in and walk through it and bring their children down, and it's very important that they do. And see, this is the place I want to come wear the Donegal jersey. This is where I want to become a Donegal player. Both girls and boys will come and look at it, and that's the future that we're looking at, and we have to build for the future. And that's half of the turnover. The rest is all broken down into different things. Our expenditure, we try our best to keep it as under control as much as we can. And we've got players' expenses, we've got overnights, we've training facilities, administration, equipment and gear and medical expenses. And you run it, the list is the full length of an 8A4 size page. And we've got good people there maintaining all that at the moment. And we've got great camaraderie around the clubs. As I said before, there's plenty of it off on the field that's forgotten about, but when we come together, they're wise enough people now to look at the big picture, and the big picture is the county, the pride that's in the county, following your county, doing stuff for your county. And there's plenty of people that haven't looked after Donegal down through the years outside of Donegal, and I'm not going to get into any political arguments here, but we are left to fight our own corner up here in the northwest, and it's up to us as a GA organisation and the unit of the overall national organisation to fight our corner. And we're not afraid to fight that corner when we go to Croke Park, and whether it's on the field or indeed off the field, which I do. And I'll be up there next weekend in Congress, and I'll be speaking loudly on a few things that I feel should be addressed as well. And we'll get nothing for nothing, and they mightn't agree with you at the time, but they'll admire you afterwards. You come in and you fought your corner, and you know, the word entitlement or entitled isn't in the official guide, so you don't go mention it. I never use the word entitled. We're entitled to nothing. You go and fight your corner and fight it on the field and fight it off the field.
Good man, Mick. No better man for fighting. Mick, it was just, listen, it's a long way from Drumbo, the training pits there, to Convoy now. So much work is going on. You know, the farmer was coming out taking the footballs on us at training. It's hard to believe from that point to where we're at now, Mick. And of course, you know yourself, Mick, I've given me time for the fundraising and my liver on that trip to London with yourself and Anthony Molloy and Tony Boyle. I hope we raised a few quid over them couple of days in London. Hey, if the barman had a percentage in it there, we might have raised a fair few pound, you know. It was a good couple of days. But Mick, listen, thanks a million for coming and joining us. And we'll be down to Shamtown Sunday, all guns blazing. We got to get this support back out again after. It was quiet enough now, Mick, in Croke Park on Saturday night. Me and John were just talking about when the Dubs needed a lift from the fans, it was there. So I think, you know, with Monaghan going well, we're going to need a raucous crowd in Ballyshannon, Father Tierney Park, and give it to Monaghan this Sunday.
Yeah, well, I mean, just before I wind up, thank you for asking me on the show. I wish you well with it. It's a new initiative you're taking there, and I hope it goes well. It's a good place to talk these things out. It's a great topic of conversation in the county, the GAA. It's, you can hardly go anywhere without having a conversation on it. It was disappointing, I suppose, Saturday night. You know, not to get the result, but the performances, I think, are more important at this time of the year. We want to stay in Division 1, yes. The performances are coming well, and there's a lot of good things happening within our game at the moment, and sometimes we allow the negativity to become the main topic rather than the positive things. And overall, I'm happy where the team is. There's a lot of young lads getting blooded in. There's a few more to get brought in as well. There's some great maturity being shown by some of our leaders as well at the moment. Bringing Patrick McBurty back on Saturday is something positive that we look forward to. Hopefully, we'll get the full game next weekend. And I would just ask people to be patient with this group of people. These lads all came through the underage system, a lot of them in Donegal. Declan came in as manager just 2 years ago, and he changed the whole system of how the game was to be played, how he wanted the team to play. And I think most people admire the way the team's playing at the moment. Okay, the results are frustrating at times, but we're playing a different brand of football now, a brand of football that we needed to be playing. We weren't good at the old negative stuff, playing the defensive stuff that we'd been playing there for a few years. So I would ask people to be patient, and dead right, I would echo what you're saying, Brendan. Come out and support this team. This team are not going to let you down, and I will think that we'll give Monaghan as plenty as much as they'll get. They'll not get the same room against also next Sunday they got last over the weekend in Clonus. They'll know they're in a hell of a battle after Sunday's game, and whether we win it or lose it. But I would be fancying our chances on Sunday. We're going to take a bit of beating, because I just know that feeling's there that this is an important one. We have two very important games coming up against Monaghan and Tyrone, and I would see Monaghan and Tyrone as the two teams that will threaten us winning three in a row at Ulster. Sometimes people are afraid to say these things out loud. I'm not afraid to say them out. We're going for three in a row, and it's like a good team to take that crown away from us this year. So we want a big crowd out behind the team and support the draw. It's winyourhouseindublin.com. And I know you'll say that again before you wrap up, Brendan. We'll see you Sunday.
Mick, 100%. Listen, not only county chairman, but definitely your heart and soul is involved in everything to do with this Donegal team and setup. Mick, thanks very much for joining us.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
All right, folks, that's a wrap. John Hearn, thanks very much for coming up to the studio again, for the whole team here for producing the show, and Mick McGrath and Frank Roach for coming and having a chat to us. And of course, we had our first fan zone, people getting involved, and we might be talking to a few people in Ballyshannon. Get down to Ballyshannon, get behind our team. We need a big Donegal support there this week. Mick McGrath will be flogging tickets. All roads lead to Ballyshannon, 2 points against Monaghan. We'll see you there.
them.